Next week marks 3 years since Hurricane Sandy slammed into the Northeast, causing tens of billions of dollars in damage. I was in New York City at the time, and one of the most frustrating things was that just when you needed your cell phone, it stopped working. Parts of the phone networks were down. Other parts that were working were jammed up with traffic. Happens a lot in emergency situations. That's why many cities and companies have turned to Everbridge to send out messages during a disaster or important event. For instance, when Pope Francis came to the U.S. last month, Everbridge used cell phone alerts to tell people in Philadelphia which roads were closed. Joining us now for our series of conversations with leaders called View from the Top is Everbridge CEO Jamie Ellertson. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, I feel like I have received these messages, even though I've never signed up for anything. Is that possible?
Absolutely. We build databases, first of all, to protect and provide and prioritize safety for citizens and corporations. So in 7 of the top 10 cities, you'll find us: Boston, D.C., Chicago, L.A., San Francisco, where they're taking the reverse 911 data to begin to be able to communicate to citizens when there's something like a hurricane or tornado or a man-made disaster, the Boston Marathon bombing. And they collect that data, and then typically we'll use a portal as well for you to sign up and update your profile, where you want to get a message when there's an emergency or a street closure for alternate side parking in the snow. So it could be a lot of different things that put you in the database, and then you're able to update that.
And when that message comes, it's not just like a text message. It really, your phone really lets you know that something serious is happening.
Yeah. Because of the ability now with today's modern smartphones, we can override things like the controls for sound and make a higher level alert. That's that amber alert, for instance, both on the highway and on your phone. That'll really be somewhat irritating, but it gets your attention for a purpose.
And how do you do that at a time of an emergency? We all know that it's very difficult sometimes to get a call out, to get a text out, that the phone lines seize up because there's so much activity.
In fact, that happened in the Boston Marathon bombing. Literally 10 seconds after the first bomb went off, we were used to coordinate the command centers for the police and the active personnel that were calling in. And in many cases, if you were trying to make a call out or reach a loved one that might have been running in the race, you were getting a busy signal. We optimize our communication, and by government, we're prioritized in order of communication. But it's also the idea that you're using a multi-channel approach. So you might elect first to be receive a text message because you answer those in meetings or in crisis. But you can send an email. We can turn that text message into a voice message or make a voice call on a landline or something. We can go over sat phones, highway signs for amber alerts, a lot of different channels. So one of the things is we optimize the message to get through as many as possible and on as low a bandwidth, but we also use multiple channels to get through you and multiple endpoints from your cell phone to your PC or, as I said, a highway sign.
But how quickly can the message get through? Let's say that there's a tsunami. You live along the coast and there's a tsunami and you want to get the message out to people maybe even before the sirens go off that there's going to be a tsunami.
Correct. Well, in severe weather, which is sometimes what affects the largest swath of American citizens the most, the Superstorm Sandy, we're literally messaging 10 million people over a weekend. So today in our system, we count about 100 million people. And so the system is set to scale. We grew up around emergency notification to deliver literally millions, if required, of messages in minutes.
And how specific can you get? Could you say to people who live on a specific street, this is a problem that you need to focus on, but the people that live on the next street over, they won't get that message?
That's absolutely correct, Jeremy. So let me give you two things that have been in recent news. Joaquin coming up the East Coast. So you've got evacuation of low-lying areas and literally across the street, no issue whatsoever. You want to evacuate the people that the house is going to be flooded by 3 feet so they're not on the rooftop being hell-evac'd out. And you want the other people just to take normal precautions and move, or a wildfire that hits one side, not the other. In an active shooter scenario, you know, some messages are being delivered and said it's in the building you're in and we know which building we're in because of the profile and location capabilities, which we can tie into the phone. And so you need to lock the door and barricade yourself. Two buildings over, we want you to evacuate. But getting that right information to the right device, if I'm in a classroom, I'm not playing on email. I may, though, listen to that loud beeping sound on my phone and answer it on the right device at the right time so you can make the right decision to protect life and livelihood.
I imagine that you would be a prime target for hackers. Somebody gets into your database, that's trouble.
Well, I think a little more if you're storing financial information. Our profiles can be very rich, so that profile in a corporate setting can be what work you do, what group you're in, what building location you're in, what time of day you work, schedules. We do in some of the local hospitals and many of the national ones, almost 1,000 of them throughout the U.S., the scheduling for ER rooms.
So do you have to do a lot of work on cybersecurity to make sure that you can't be hacked?
We do, and we have to protect that data privacy both in the U.S. and internationally because the international corporations are a little bit leery of sending data about their individuals to the U.S. So we conform to most of those security capabilities, and then we actually provide secure communications as part of our critical communication suite. So it is a big focus for us. Fortunately, we're not storing financial data, but that individual cell phone, their home phone, their address, their kids' numbers, those are important, and we take great care in administering that data.
What is your goal? Where do you want to go next with this company?
So an interesting thing is maybe two examples, and they both kind of involve the Internet of Things. So in the medical life sciences, I'd throw out the example of one of the leading diagnostic medical companies just released last year an implantable heart monitor into a doctor's office, implanted on the skin. And if you've had hereditary issues or you've had a heart replacement or any type of valve replacement, it gives a full AKG to the medical provider so that if you're overdoing it a little bit, they can see it and then they'd like to message to you. The problem was after installing thousands of these, watching real-time EKGs for thousands of people became unmanageable. So they turned to Everbridge to communicate when you went out of band and I could reach out and say, Jeremy, the activity's gone a little bit over the top, slow it down. In a serious case, I could even contact your doctor. And the most important one that had to be automated, so machine to machine and then to the person, is we're actually seeing you have a heart attack. So then Everbridge is going to reach out, see that, and send the ambulance directly to your door as you're having the heart attack. So in that Internet of Things space where people are starting to connect machine to machine, we often say that it's not just machine to machine. In the future, it's machine to machine and often a person to create value.
And you need to have the priority. That's the point here. We've got a million ways of communicating with each other, right. But you've got to have something that says this one's really important amid all of your messages.
That's right. And the ability to get you on the right device with perhaps a louder tone or capture your attention and to make sure if you don't answer it, I keep dialing because in the case that you're not running and you're having this issue or you're out, to be able to call your house, to talk to your wife, to talk to a family member, to make sure someone knows and continue that process until that message has been delivered so that you can prioritize life or livelihood is key. And so it is a multi-channel approach, but the future is bright with some of those, as an example, Internet of Things applications.
Do you have to worry about too many warnings going out? That, you know, we talk about prioritizing these warnings, but if you're getting a lot of these messages, maybe people will start to avoid and ignore the messages that you're sending.
It's a great question, Jeremy. So I think you have to be able to structure a difference between critical communications and normal communications. We don't provide email services or just simple text messaging. In fact, in many of those devices, you are receiving spam nowadays. Or if you go to different cultures, India, the Far East, it's overdone. You get so many in your phone, it's like the spam, we get an email. And so the ability to prioritize them, to come across with different tones, to understand in your profile which is your desired device and even what time of day you want to try to receive a message. And then when it is a true emergency, elevate the message by the tone, by the way it's coming across. We have the capability to lock up the desktop and tell you that it's a real fire, not one that you close the door and sit through the drill, is important. And so we often work with companies and cities and states on what is a best practice and how much messaging they should be doing and how to clearly delineate between an emergency, there's a guy with a gun downstairs and you need to stay in your office, versus it's a fire drill and you need to get out of your office and go downstairs. And so there is a level of that. And cutting through that noise and making sure you can deliver it in the right format, the right language for the right device is key.
Jamie Ellertson, CEO of Everbridge, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.